Now you gotta put a hand here about there at the corner.
I just started based you there and I see them.
All right, thank you.
So you guys,
No, we want them to come to the podium.
I know that, but still, like, whenever they're going to talk, or are we just going to make sure that they come to the podium?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just stand up and just say like a quick word. So.
Right. That's only DPD.
Yeah.
The chief needs to make them come to the podium. Or he needs to recognize who they are.
For the introductions, when he's introducing them?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was thinking, like, nobody on Zoom is hearing that.
Yeah, they need to come. He needs to introduce them. He can see them. Yeah, he do. He the chief. Shoot, that ain't nothing in here but executives. Ain't no peons in here. And then everybody that's in here works on for him. So he got him from all.
Even if, you know what, we need to talk to him about that, because even if he needs them to sign in for him and hand him a sheet of paper.
They need to do that. There you go.
Because you're right.
Have the chief of staff do the same thing like we do.
Yep.
Have the chief of staff.
So today we'll just let it go like it goes.
Yeah.
Have a conversation about how to structure that better.
There's a lieutenant and a sergeant in his office that comes down
here.
Okay.
We need more batteries. Actually, there's not really a lot back there.
Okay, what kind do you need?
What do we call
9 volts?
Or
I ain't got no 9 volts. And then Quinn is not here, so I know he has some 9 volts. I just make sure Quinn knows he needs some 9 volts.
I think there was only like three or four left.
And he usually gets those from the building authority, so I'll make sure he knows.
Actually, I'll hold on to this spare one.
Yep. Just in case.
There are some people who are sitting down that can't really get up easily. You know, like any people.
Yeah, but we don't want that mic to be passed around. Because then if I get the mic and it ain't my turn to talk, I'm going to say what I want to say because I got the mic. Ruben Crowley will really show up then. Because he'll be like, I'm going to stop the mic where I'm at. Oh, you give me your list. I can put her name on your seat. But I won't know until they walk in the door or either they come on Zoom.
I have a question. That's the community meeting. We always choose that one.
Hey, how you doing?
For the city channel, this is their community channel, so they name them all communities.
Okay, thank you.
I'm gonna get some more, but I'm so glad
So if the DTA guy comes in, I'll put his name down there, but he don't come all the time, so. They don't have enough, so let me put her name down. They don't have enough mics, so that means you and the attorney or the might have to share the attorney area.
How are you?
My access grant to the loan.
Okay.
The email out there, I figure out how to get in there and open it.
We did more work than this board did. And I mean on the last hour and a half. Seriously, that was it. We had more on our agenda than this board had on this agenda. A lot of news used to last an hour and a half. And we had more speakers coming to speak at headquarters than you.
Right.
Well, figure it out, you had the palms down there. This is sweet. I mean, we couldn't figure the numbers out. We always had more people coming down there. Hour and a half. We were done. All that talk about what we gonna vote on. That was next. That was like, y'all know what we voting on. Say your vote, and we gonna move.
So how are you? Thank you. Good to see you. What about the do you have the chaplain on here?
It's your email. Let me see what her name is. Chaplain Diane Oliver Harrison.
Is that under staff or
you'll let him know who the chaplain is.
Okay, she already sent it.
Okay, that's good.
So I don't need to write and say anything else. Okay.
That'd be the first order of
business. Yeah, that'll even be before, right, before we even get to this.
Yeah, that'll be the first order of business. Hey, Miss Sandell. What's wrong? You was running, you couldn't put your shoes on? You was running to get here on time, you couldn't put your shoes on?
Oh, at least I have no crap in the back.
Oh, okay.
I walk every morning, but this
knee
is bad.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can kind of see how big that would be. Yeah.
2 days on this because I ain't having no
sun. Hey, that's what you listen. So he kind of gave me that. And I said, well, what if I go to LA 2 days a week and work on it? He said, well, you can do that. But if you come to me and say, we got pain, we're going to have that surgery. I go to LA 3 days out of the week. Oh, God. That's the number. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Oh, okay. Oh. Great.
Hi, how you doing?
That's what they're supposed to do. Hey, how you doing?
I just brought you.
Good, sir.
Nice to have you at the table.
Hi, Mr. Sexton. How are you?
You know, they have to detain him.
Yeah.
He set off every alarm.
Oh, wow.
Every time.
I said he looks suspicious to me.
Yeah. Say that too.
Must have convinced them to let him in.
I got him on the payroll.
Yeah, about providing.
How's everything going? Okay.
It's coming.
What do you call it, then?
No, that was even an option. I've been coming to sleep before.
Hey, Ron, how you doing? You got a lot of stuff in your hand. What are you doing all that stuff in your hand? Oh, you like your package like that.
I'm working on it.
Okay. All right. Okay.
The kitchen is the system, the big one that the students
are going all over the world. Yeah. That's out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right up front.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Commissioner Holly. I'm good. How are you? Fine, sir. How are you doing?
Hi.
How are you doing?
Thank you.
Good, good.
Hey, how are you?
How are you doing? Welcome. Thanks, so.
People leaving this place, man.
You gotta be prayed up.
How's it? But yeah, I was at the Bowles funeral home. I was talking to them. Yeah, 20 funerals one day. I don't know how to do it, but they had 20 funerals.
How do you manage something like that?
I don't know. It's tight schedule. Yeah. 20 of them.
Yeah. Well, I just look at the homicide and black folks killing black folks over and over again. And it's just sad. Right. You know, it's just sad.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I talk to family members in those areas. Right. Yeah. Chicago and
my son.
Okay.
Okay.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Hopefully they kick the garbage up. But have enjoy that. Okay. Will do. Thank you.
Oh, Mom, what's going on, man?
You okay, sir?
I do the best I can. What are you starting to do? Okay, well, so we can get over this right now.
Man, I don't know how to process.
How are you doing, Commissioner? How are you? I have a guy that comes to see me.
I should have known that.
But because the walk with car wash don't wipe it good, you know? I get so upset about that.
I'm trying to stop the budget from going through.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man.
But it's tight.
Okay,
I'll use the
The point is, it's being important. It doesn't make no sense. What we just basically
I appreciate that.
Committed just making the book support.
Yes. It's good. Don't
and the board has to decide that.
Yep. Side your vote. No. Say that all the time.
Hey,
I forgot your vote.
Where is it? Okay, just bring it tonight. Well,
I was,
hey, buddy, how are you?
But I'm not going to take it up there until tomorrow anyway.
I'm bringing it
up. Okay. And if right, okay. Okay.
How are you?
I'm glad you're out here.
So, okay, Warren, they were supposed to come. The 17th. So I got my yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Reporter,
oh yeah,
can you confirm that you can hear us correctly?
Script and sleep study to care one. Their fax number is 855-329-8671. You need to get a hold of me. My number is 248-642-7708. Thank you.
Reporter Handyside, we can hear you in the meeting. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Thank you. You're all set. You can mute when you are able. Thank you.
That's why I'm here. But she said it didn't go off.
Because come down, then go back up. Yeah.
Like we're playing in the minute. I know. I know. That's why you do.
Hey, phone is not in yet. Hey, you.
Hey, you're going on. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you? Every time I see your clothes, I think, oh, I got that. I got that one. I want to wear it. Me.
You look great. You know what you do. You look like a lady.
Well, you know, from the South. From the South. Did you get a chance to look at that budget?
The budget. Uh-huh. The one that you guys did? I'm fine with it. Awesome. No objection. She did a great job.
She did?
Yeah. I'm not listening to you.
Oh, you stop. Oh, you stop.
What gifts did I get if I wasn't going to tell?
Yeah, it's awesome. Oh, I have.
What? I could add a five for the job.
Good afternoon.
Recording
this meeting will now come to order. Chaplain Diane Oliver Harrison, could you please give us an invitation, please?
Thank you, sir. Father God, in the name of Jesus.
Please, I'm sorry, we can't hear you.
Please use the microphone.
Thank you so much.
Look at that better.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we invite you in. Now, Father, we thank you for this is the day that you have made, and we've made a conscious decision to rejoice and to be glad in it. Now, I ask now that you will come and that you will govern this meeting as only you can do. I ask that you will order our steps, and then I ask that you will bridle our tongues in the way that they need to be. Now, Lord, keep us, bless us, and let us accomplish the business that you set forth before us. Keep us in your will and in your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Chaplain Harrison. Thank you, as always. Madam Secretary, introduction of commissioners.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Introduction of the commissioners, Chair Ferguson.
Here.
Vice Chair Annie Holt.
Good evening, good afternoon, here.
Commissioner Cedric Banks. Commissioner Willie Bell.
Present, District 4.
Commissioner Linda Bernard.
Attorney Linda Bernard, present, District 2. Hello, everyone.
Commissioner Willie Burton. Commissioner Lisa Carter. Commissioner Jesus Hernandez.
Present.
Commissioner Jim Holly.
Present.
Commissioner Ricardo Moore submitted an excused absence but is attending on Zoom. And Commissioner Quantes Presley. Mr. Chair, you have a quorum.
Thank you. Thank you. I would like to have entertain a motion for the approval for the March 16, 2023 agenda.
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? That motion has passed. Now we have approval for the minutes for March 9th, 2023.
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? Any corrections? Hearing none? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? That motion for the minutes have passed also. Thank you. Madam Secretary, first I would like for you to introduce yourself to the listening audience, the commissioners.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. My name is Victoria Shaw, the newly appointed Secretary to the Board of Police Commissioners.
Yay!
So for the staff in attendance, we have Dr. Francis Jackson, our parliamentarian, Attorney Adam Saxby, Mr. Robert Brown, Ms. Donya Underwood, Ms. Teresa Blossom, Ms. Candace Hayes, Mr. Ainsley Cromwell from OCI, our HR Director, Katrina Patillo, American Sign Language Interpreters, Ms. Yakata, and Dr. Stephanie Beatty, as well as Don Handyside, our court reporter, Media Services is providing audio, and Sergeant Alan Quinn providing audio. We also have from OCI staff, LaSonia Sloan and Elgin Murphy.
Fantastic. I see we have Deputy Chief Hayes is in the house. You sit there for the chief.
I'm going to do my best to fill in for him.
Oh, you always do a fantastic job, sir.
Big shoes, big shoes.
Who do you have sitting with you?
Again, good afternoon, this honorable body. In attendance, we have Second Deputy Chief Kyra Joy Hope, Lieutenant Mark Young, President of the Detroit Police Lieutenants and Sergeants Association, Police Officer Ron Thomas, Vice President of the Detroit Police Officers Association, and Mr. Marcellus Kibbe, Special Projects and Policy Liaison from the Office of Chief White. And we have a host of other DPD command staff and members that are joining us virtually.
Fantastic. Wow. That's great. Awesome. Madam Secretary, did you elected officials? Can we go through that?
Yes, Mr. Chair. We have in attendance today Ms. Marie Overall from State Representative Tyrone Carter's office, as well as Lieutenant Mark Young, LSA President, Ms. Fredia Butler, Second Precinct Community Relations President, as well as Ron Thomas, VP of DPOA. And just to correct the record, Ms. Katrina Patillo is with DPDHR.
Fantastic. Thank you. And for the record, too, Commissioner Quantes Presley has entered. Welcome, sir.
Glad to know.
And Commissioner Burton has entered. Thank you, two gentlemen, for coming. Thank you. Today, start off with, first of all, Sergeant Lightfoot, retired Sergeant Lightfoot, he attended a Boy Scout group, Troop 123, I think that is, and they were talking about how they're afraid of the police. Afraid of the police.
Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So he knew how to answer him, but he thought it would come better from a Board of Police Commission. So he reached out to me, and I had a chance to speak with the group, and I told the young men what they should expect if they ever have an encounter with a police officer, especially while they're driving, because some of the troops, they were of age, driving age. So one young man, He was fighting me. Every time I say, hey, this should happen. No, don't happen like that. Well, if you do that, no, don't happen. No, like young people always do. So I went on to explain to him, this is the procedures you should do when getting encounter with a police officer. I went on to explain on how it should be. I said, if you be courteous to him, he should return that same favor to you. And if you're wrong, own up to it. Not going to be that bad. Well, guess what? He got pulled over by the police officers, and he did exactly what I asked him to do. And the police officers let him go. So guess what? He's not afraid of the police no more. He's not. He said it was so nice to him, he couldn't believe it. And he was dead wrong. He said it. He said, Coach, I was wrong. I just knew I was going to get a ticket. But he didn't. They let him go. He gave a stern talking to, though. They did do that. And he understood it. So I encouraged him to go back and tell all his friends that's of driving age, the experience he had, and give the police officers a break, especially when you know you're in the wrong. Especially. And if it goes awry, that's what the Board of Police Commissioners are here for. All right? If it does go awry, that's what we're mandated to do. That's it. So that was one of the good stories I like to tell to let everybody know that a little courtesy goes a long way on both sides. Goes a long way. And I have to commend those two officers that did what they had to do by telling them what he did wrong and how he can correct himself. And I got to commend that young man for not giving attitude, as I should say. And he didn't. But I want to say thank you for that.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. I want to say thank you for sharing with us a happy story about an interaction with, I assume this is a young African-American youth?
Yes.
With the police department. Thank you very much.
But that happened because a retired police officer reached out to me, and I had an opportunity to talk to a group of young men. And everybody knows I really love talking. So if I can do it to help somebody, I'm here. I'm here. If I can help you, I'm here.
Through the chair.
Yes.
Okay. I appreciate you too sharing that experience. Last Sunday, I believe it was, Delta Sigma Theta Detroit Alumni Chapter had a forum whereby young people mostly came on. It was virtual. At one time, we had 92 attendees to that virtual. And like you're saying, the young people were quite candid. They couldn't believe because the presenter, I believe, was Sergeant Gregory. And they pushed back, but he was a strong individual who I think works with PAL. So he knew his audience and was able to basically allow the conversation to proceed without people, jumping off of the virtual. And in that, you have this relationship with this troop member. Next time I'll share it, and perhaps he can have his community come on that virtual as well.
Thank you. Now, also, my phone rings off the hook constantly. Right? So one thing they're saying is conduct. That's what they're coming to me for. Conduct. Right? So I asked them to tell me what the conduct was about. Conduct within ourselves. Within this board. So I'm asking, our words have consequences and repercussions. They do. Whether you're a citizen or you're a board member, whether you're staff or you're just a person just out in the street, your words have consequences. So I'm urging, choose your words carefully. And if you have facts to back up your accusations, bring them. But if not, you can't just throw words out there. You can't go hollering fire in a building, and the fire is not in the building. So I'm asking the commissioners, and I'm asking the public, please, act responsible. We're here to conduct business. We have 10 commissioners on this board. Each of them have a different personality, and I respect each and one of you. But what I can't have is anarchy within the board. If you disagree, disagree with your vote. Not screaming, hollering. That gets us nowhere. That does not get us anywhere. So I'm urging you should act like adults and get things moving. Because like when I make my speeches to the young recruits before they become officers, remember, everybody with a phone is watching. And the whole world is watching. Because this is on Zoom. You can watch from anywhere. And that's the conduct I would like for this board to continue to keep. I want this conduct to be fair. And if you're going to make an accusation, stand by it. Don't just throw it out there. Stand by it. And if you need to holler and scream, pull me aside. I can take it. I'm a big boy. Holler and scream at me, but not in front of the public and not in front of your fellow board members. They don't deserve it. The public don't deserve it. The audience doesn't deserve it. They just don't. So, Ms. Jackson, that was for you. I thought I was going to do it. I had to. She watched this faithfully. Couple other things. This board governs itself. We govern ourselves by 11 commissioners, and that's through a vote. No one else can persuade us. Your vote is your vote. HR does not run this department. The law department doesn't run this department. This board runs itself. You run by majority vote. So when something comes up, you ask questions and you vote with your conscience. Not through anybody else. Not through anybody else. So with that, my chair report is done. Chief.
Happy
chair. You got you on the program, didn't you?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. If I may, again, members of this community and this honorable body, just like to share with you some of the things that are going on here in the police department.
Microphone.
Oh, any better?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
All right. So I want to start off first with some statistical data. The work that we do, we need personnel to do it. So I'm going to two incidents or two matters I'll discuss where we talk about personnel and how we're impacted as an agency. The first is the updated on injured officers. We have two officers that are currently out while they were injured on duty. And both of them have a nexus of being struck by a vehicle. One of the officers that was from the 7th Precinct was in her scout car when she was struck by an impaired driver. She's still recovering. The other officer who was assigned to the 2nd Precinct was struck by a tow truck, well, by a vehicle, while he was conducting an investigation. He went to the hospital in critical condition. He's had repairs, everything from his clavicle to other broken bones in his body, and he was released from Sinai Grace a short while ago, within the last week. And he has a long road to recovery, so we ask that you keep him, for those that are religious, we ask that you keep him in your prayers, and for those that are not, just simply ask that you wish him well on his road to recovery, because it's going to be a long one. COVID, 13 members are currently quarantined or isolated this week, same as last week, 13 and 13 this week, and of those members that are isolated, 9 of them are positive. No coincidence, but it is a coincidence that 9 last week as well. So that number is steady. You know, I encourage others to wash their hands, you know, wear masks when possible. And if you're sick, stay home or protect others because we know how COVID has impacted this nation, quite frankly, the world since the pandemic. Getting into crime and the work that we do, I want to share some statistical data. Our homicides, we had 41 year-to-date last year. We're at 48 this year, reflective of a 17% increase. Non-fatal shootings, we had 118 this time last year. We are at 133 this year, reflective of a 13% increase. robberies. We had 233 last year. We are at 269 this year, reflective of a 16% increase. We meet daily. We are constantly assessing strategies and ways to combat this violent crime and drive it down because it is unacceptable. And we will continue that work day in and day out. Another category I'd like to share with you is motor vehicle theft. And Commissioner Burton, at our last meeting, mentioned his concern of the rise in auto theft. It's 30% up statewide, but specifically in the city of Detroit, we're up even higher than that. Last year, this time, we had 613 auto thefts. Today, we are at 902. That's reflective of a 47% increase. We are working tirelessly to come up with new ways, and it's the entire ecosystem of accountability, whether it be working with our prosecutors and the courts to ensure that we have sentencing and bonding for those that are reoffending, as well as how we deploy from technology, from strategy, to how we address it. We are going to be presenting some technology that we believe will be effective through license plate readers that will expand the footprint that have already made a significant impact and held this 902 to 902, and it hadn't been higher than that. So we're going to continue to work again to certainly be responsible with the technology, but utilize it and possibly lean on it more to help drive these auto thefts down. Our drag race in detail has not began yet. The weather's been on our side, but when the weather turns, we will certainly be just as engaged as we were last year with our partners from Michigan State Police and others that are committed to Wayne County Sheriffs. And certainly within DPD, we commit a substantial amount of resources to drive this issue down. So we will certainly pick that back up when the weather brings it on. Our mental health calls, something that we manage and we respond to from our 911 center and certainly our CIT program and our co-response model. We will continue to work at it. We're looking for partners in the healthcare profession to assist us. But until then, we will manage as best we know how, keep our officers trained, responsive, and doing our best to get them the help that they need. Call for service this year alone, year to date, we are 3,209. This is up over this time last year, where we were at 2,746. And those are called whether they're mental nonviolent, mental violent armed, mental violent not armed, suicide in progress, or the threats of suicide, someone wanting to self-harm. And out of those calls that we received, we responded to 2,871 of those 3,200 calls. A lot of reasons that we, well, an example of why we may not respond and why there may, that number may differentiate is because as a part of our program that we rolled out for our mental health co-response, we have embedded mental health specialists and clinicians right at our call center. So if someone calls that's in crisis, that has deviated from baseline, has possibly suicide ideations or whatever that may look like, because we have those persons with that skill set right there answering the phones, we can start giving them the help that they need, or it's being provided from the minute they call 911. So certainly an effective tool, and we look again to help those that are in the need of mental health services as best we possibly can. I want to share some significant incidents that happened within the last week, last Friday. We had the double shooting on West Outer Drive of two Michigan State Police troopers. They were executing a search warrant to take a suspect in custody for an outstanding felony warrant in the 10,000 block of West Outer Drive. Troopers were met with gunfire from individuals inside the home. These two troopers were struck by gunfire and transported to a local hospital for treatment. Both troopers have since been released with minor injuries. After that, we declared a barricaded gun in our protocol for someone with the exact circumstances of this, working with the Michigan State Police, We were called in. Chief White, Colonel Gasper made the decision that our special response team would handle. And upon us taking over that scene, after communicating with the person inside, we were able to get him to come out for a peaceful resolution. No one else was injured. This person was arrested, taken into custody. And from that, the Wayne County prosecutor signed a warrant for assault with intent to murder and felony firearms against the suspect. And he was arraigned on March 15th at 36th District Court. Also want to talk about a homicide that happened on March 13th when officers were dispatched to the 11,000 block of Cloverdale to investigate a fatal shooting. When the officers arrived, they observed an unknown black male lying in front of the location. He sustained injuries that were incompatible with life and was deceased. From that witness statements and interviews, we were able to identify a suspect through the hard work of our homicide unit and still have a strike that. We were not able to identify a suspect. We talked to witnesses, canvassed area, and there's still work to be done to identify the person responsible. So anyone who has information on this incident, please call Crime Stoppers at 1-800-SPEAK-UP. That way we can bring accountability to the person responsible for this and closure to this victim's loved ones. We had a non-fatal shooting that occurred on March 13th, 2023 in the 6,000 block of East 7 Mile when officers observed a white Expedition and a brown GMC Tahoe firing shots at each other. The Expedition, which was traveling at a high rate of speed, lost control and crashed into several parked vehicles. As officers approached the Expedition, the occupant of that vehicle fired shots at the officers. The officers returned fire at the suspect and eventually took the suspect in custody. No officers were injured during the exchange of gunfire, and the suspect was transported to a local hospital for treatment. The homicide task force was dispatched to the scene to conduct the investigation, and later, after interview of the suspect, who was shot inside the vehicle, he was not shot by our officers. And in speaking with him and interviewing him, he did know the person responsible. And with this information, we were able to submit a warrant to the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office for that person responsible. In addition to the actions of the person that was identified in this shooting, he's also wanted on a federal warrant for Kansas City, so out of Kansas City, Missouri. So we are working on extradition arrangements to take him in on that warrant to get him to Kansas City. I want to talk about a few positive things now. Talked about personnel at the opening, and our human capital is one of the that allows us to do the things that we do and serve this community. I'm looking at Vice President Ron Thomas in here, and certainly Chief White and Mayor Duggan working to make sure that our officers and members of this department have a competitive salary and competitive wages so that we can retain them and, again, give the residents of this community the police, the caliber and of police service that they deserve. This past Friday on March 10th, Chief White swore in eight members reinstated to DPD that left and other departments, and they came back. The return of members was due, again, to the camaraderie, the competitive pay scale, and the many opportunities offered by the DPD. We have currently another 20 former members that left that are working towards reinstatement as well. So we are truly grateful, and again, more for coming back. And it's a win-win, certainly for the community and the residents of this city, so that we can serve them as we all signed up to do. Some are signing up a second time, but they are ready. On Monday, March 13th, Deputy Chief Mark Bliss spoke with the media about the Gardner White recliner donation. The announcement and delivery occurred at 1 p.m. at the 3rd Precinct, and this is where Gardner White donated and delivered 20 new reclining chairs to Detroit Police Precinct and Detroit Fire Station to show appreciation for Detroit's first responders. The chairs were delivered to Detroit on 313 Day, March 13th, to celebrate the city. Our 8th Precinct neighborhood police officers had a chance to work with our next generation of future leaders, future police officers, future police commissioners at an elementary school.
Oh, wow.
And on 313 Day again, the officers from the 8th Precinct read to elementary school students, and afterward they showed the students their squad cars and took photos. The neighborhood police officers then created a social media post with photos that were reshared with Detroit PAL's Facebook page. The post on the 8th Precinct page and PAL page were well received among community members, and the comments were there to reflect just that and their appreciation, and they asked for more. So we will work to do more of that. A monthly community relations meeting was held at the 11th Precinct. That was on Tuesday, March 14th, when officers of the 11th Precinct hosted their monthly community relations council meeting. The meeting occurred from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the 11th Precinct, and for those that could not come, it was also a Zoom link so that they could be there virtually. The meeting provided an opportunity for community members to connect with their precinct, with their law enforcement professionals that are tasked to serve them in that 11th Precinct, learn about the functions of their precinct, and strengthen that partnership and bond between our community and our police department, similar to, as you mentioned, what we did with that Boy Scout troop. And lastly, tomorrow, here at the Detroit Public Safety Headquarters, in partnership with the Michigan House of Representatives Detroit Caucus, Councilmember Mary Waters, Marathon Company, and Representative Tyrone Carter will be giving away 600 wheel locks. The giveaway, again, will happen here at 4 p.m. and will last until supplies run out. They will be available on a first-come, first-served basis. Mr. Chair, that concludes my report, and I will answer any questions that you or this body may have of me.
Mr. Chairman, just...
As always.
Well, get to you guys. Can I ask you a question? Did he say wheel locks or gun locks? I'm just...
Wheel locks.
For what, like bicycles?
Stolen car, so your car won't get stolen. Wheel lock. Because that's a hot, right? That's a hot topic going on, and that's what we've been trying to push. And I've been saying it 100 times. Buy you some wheel locks. But here we go. They're giving them out for free. So make sure you get here at 4 o'clock, a little bit before, because they're going to give them out until supplies run out. Because I got that on my phone. I was going to holler it out. I'm glad you did it. It's funny. It's not funny, but the cost of service for mental runs, that's just not going down no time soon. And I just want the public to know that OCI is not immune to that either. I had a chance to visit OCI yesterday, and I talked to some of the investigators and staff, and they said they have challenges when the public comes in and they feel that their needs are not being met. They want to vent, and the venting can get out of hand. So, with that being said, I asked the staff there and the investigators who is willing to participate in the CIT training class, and I was going to try to get them in, the ones that want to participate. So that way they can kind of not talk them off a ledge, but calm them down enough to where a professional can come and get them some help. No, because they ran into some situations where they really felt uncomfortable. So I employed them for that, and we're going to try to get them some training too so they can combat some of the mental runs that the police face, right? Because we're not immune to this. OCI is not immune to that. All right. BC Hope.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry, Chair. We were talking about training with, for CIT. Thank you, my former fifth grade student, I wish, Deputy Hayes. Okay, number one, you mentioned about the license plate reader. Now, you know how close that sounds like facial recognition. So when should we look forward to policy coming out of DPD that will even help us understand the consequences of this technology being abused?
Through the chair, ma'am, this honorable body has already approved that policy.
When do we do? Oh,
we need to look at it again.
When, please? I'm sorry.
Back in 2019. We already have it. We are operating with it. Yes, ma'am. This body created it, and consistent with any technology, any misuse of it brings grounds of progressive discipline up to and including termination.
And the reason I'm shocked because, well, that's when I came on board. And I mean, the impression was that DPD could not use that kind of technology, and that's my ignorance. And maybe I'll go somewhere and resurrect the policy so that I can be better informed. I appreciate you knowing. He's also authored Mighty White Cameras 2017. That's why I wish you my fifth grade. Okay, let's move on. That's number two. Number three. In the incident involving the shooting of the two state troopers, was CIT called in on that?
Yes, ma'am. Through the chair. Consistent with any time we activate our barricaded person protocol, we bring every resource we possibly can, from that mental health clinician through our CIT trained officers, every piece of equipment that we have that could assist us in bringing matters to a peaceful resolution. So that we can end it at a peaceful point. So we always give everything we have working towards that peaceful resolution. And this past incident on Friday was another example of that. So the answer is yes, ma'am.
Thank you. And one last comment through the chair. That forum I mentioned that the Delta Sigma Theta Detroit Alumni Chapter had of how to behave when you encounter law enforcement. Sergeant Gregory explained the CIT and the role that it played in our de-escalation. So, you know, it might have, well, you know, you have to have the training before you can really appreciate it. But I was excited that he provided the basics as related to that community, those young people. Early on, Commissioner Burton mentioned, this has got to be a good year ago, how we were losing more law enforcement to the suburban areas because they were exiting the police DPD because of the salary. So I'm sure he feels good. You being able to use that as a rationale for some of those law enforcement members returning. And congratulations to DPD and obviously Human Resource Director Patillo.
Thank you. Let the record show that Commissioner Carter has entered the building. Welcome, Commissioner Carter. Thank you. Commissioner Burton.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question to Deputy Chief Hayes. You know, I have concerns when it comes to our Detroit residents, when it comes pertaining to license plate readers. Right now, it appears that Detroit Police Department is looking to increase another 100 license plate readers across the city. What is the department's rationale with increasing license plate readers when you already have integrated systems like Project Greenlight as well as traffic monitor cameras? To those in the Black and Brown community, feels like this technology is evasive, violates their privacy laws and rights, but also it is subject to misidentify those that wake up every day in poverty, especially in a Black and Brown community that doesn't have the resources for a good legal defense. And so therefore, this technology is racist. It's not wanted in our communities because Black innocent males and those that wake up in the Brown communities as well is subject to be profiled.
Mr. Chair, if I may.
Yes.
Commissioner Burton, certainly taking your concerns, but it's a few that I can dispel right at the table, and certainly after this, would love to follow up with you. License plate readers, the only thing that it would profile is if you're driving someone's car that doesn't belong to you and you've stolen it. There is nothing with race. This is a technology that simply alerts that if a car is stolen, if your vehicle is stolen and your license plate is ABC123, if it drives past this point, it will let the police department know in our real-time crime center that, hey, Commissioner Burton's car just drove down there and stolen. He hasn't gotten it back. Officers, if you can get there, stop it so that we can return that to you. This is not facial recognition. This is not anything that scans people, Black, Brown. This is nothing. This is vehicle specific. The policy, again, that this body created back in 2018 and approved, you as well, sir, we found that with the increasing amount of vehicle thefts that we could use this technology, it could have a greater impact than what it's doing. This is nothing new. This has been in existence. It will continue to be used responsibly like it already has. And again, this is to address the auto thefts that you yourself mentioned last week at our community meeting downtown.
You know, thank you, Mr. Chair, to Deputy Chief Hayes. We do need to focus on how to reduce crime that happened in our cities, but I would never support anything that's invasive in our community, such as spending 100 license plate readers that can subject to misidentify innocent black males or those that even wake up in the brown community that wakes up every day in poverty. You got cities like Ypsilanti just recently banned license plate readers. Why is Detroit is looking to go with license plate readers? Is this the only solution, or is there other solutions? And should we be hearing more from the community to get their input? Because this sounds racist when you have this type of technology in our community. You got traffic monitor cameras everywhere. You got Project Greenlight. What is that working? How is that working out? And why are we going with 100 license plate readers? These are the questions I have to go back and give immediate response to my constituents. So, and many of them feel like these meetings of the board is a DPD meeting and not a Board of Police Commissioners meeting. How many residents do we see sitting in the audience?
If I may, again, this has nothing to do with the biometric scanning of any individual. This is vehicle related. And it is only that it enters this system when a vehicle is reported stolen. Those very same constituents, we're a lot at the same meetings. And we hear our cars being stolen. I'm a victim of auto theft. Do something. This is our police department doing something to address that. And again, I can show you the locations that, excuse me, that were identified to deploy this technology is where those cameras that you mentioned were, where the green light cameras are not, which, by the way, green light has nothing to do with monitoring. Excuse me.
Take your time. Well, Deputy Chief, I agree something needs to be done. But this is not the solution. I think there's ways that we can come together with law enforcement, community members to come up with a solution, but this is not the solution. When innocent lives could be at stake.
What plan do you have, sir? What plan do you have? He's going to have that discussion offline. Commissioner Hernandez.
Thank you, sir. Through the chair, thank you for your report, Deputy Chief, as always. I'll start with the same topic of license plate readers, and I'll just say my own opinion and my own facts in saying that it's severely irresponsible to categorize license plate readers under the same category as facial recognition. It's just
All right.
But to that effect, will license plate readers continue to be used in a way to fight blight as well? Legal dumping, maybe drag racing, or is it strictly only based on vehicle theft?
This is based on vehicle theft. We do have other programs, dumping cameras, and there are programs. So if there are areas where we need to put dumping camera where blight has been an issue, we can support, support or increase our capacity with that as well to deploy dumping cameras in those areas.
So would you say that it's more of a wraparound service, a part of a wraparound service, rather? Thank you for that. Secondly, I'll take us back to what seems to be an increase in barricaded situations across the city. In particular, I'm thinking about the incident at Outer Drive and Fenkel. Could you just enlighten us a little bit on how the partnership works with other jurisdictions, including Michigan State Police, and when they might take over an investigation as opposed to DPD leaning in or maybe other agencies? I know there was some level of chatter in the community about a no-knock warrant being an issue when they entered the home. And I don't know the validity of that. Obviously, it's a case that's still ongoing. But could you just shed some light into how those partnerships work?
So, through the chair. So we work with several law enforcement agencies in a partnership. And, I'm sorry, and it's a case-by-case basis. There may be issues that someone may be wanted at the state level for a crime, someone may be wanting federally, and we will work with those partners in the apprehension. In the event we have circumstances like this where it went to a barricaded gunman, it was determined in the decision that DPD were in the city, and at that level of concern, at that level of caution, we have the rapport with the community, we have the resources that were there, and we were present to handle it. But again, it is a case by case. What I can tell you, though, is that all, and as I mentioned, the incident on East 7 Mile, where the two vehicles were shooting, all of the our police shooting are investigated by the state police, a part of our homicide task force. And it's a composition of both DPD, MSP, and I believe there's one other agency as well, but don't quote me. So again, it is a partnership, and depending on each individual set of circumstances, that determination will be made as to who will take that case.
Okay.
Through this chair, if I could do a third quick one. Weather is getting warmer, and I'm really hoping it gets hot pretty fast. But this one is in regard more to patrol as it relates to the river. Obviously, there are ongoing operations that you might be able to shed light on that happen year-round when it comes to that patrol. Are there any best practices that residents might be able to utilize if they find themselves in an uncertain situation near the river? And what I'm saying is, you know, we have a tendency to maybe sometimes see objects or people in harm in the water. Could you just said maybe best practices or pro tips as to what you should be able to do other than obviously call 911?
So if I may, number one, call 911. The second is, depending on where you are in the river, I'm sorry, well, on the river wall, we have our downtown services, which is at 20 Atwater, which is basically underneath Park Plaza. You can go right into that police station. We have the Detroit River is an international waterway. Some people forget because it's so close. We have an actual another country, 1,000 yards across the river from us. So we have presence, our Detroit Police Harbor Master. We have the Wayne County Sheriff. We have Border Patrol. We have Homeland Security. We have the Department of Natural Resources. So there are about six different marine patrols that can deploy, and of course the Coast Guard, that can deploy and address anything that they may see in the water, whether it's a floating object or they're not sure what they're seeing, a capsized vessel, perhaps there's a person in the water. So again, 911, and we have built out protocols in place that we can have a rapid response should that situation arise.
Thank you, sir.
And I don't know if you ever go down to the river walk, you will see the boxes.
Yes.
With the blue lights on them. that will pinpoint exactly where stuff is at. Let the record show that Commissioner Cedric Bank has been. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Commissioner Presley.
Thank you, through the chair. DC Hayes, my question is relative to, as Commissioner Hernandez mentioned, it getting warmer and knowing the activities in the summer changes. And I know that human trafficking and sex trafficking is a huge problem in this area. And so I know one of the, at least in a conversation I just had with a member in my church, she was being followed by a vehicle that seemed to be fighting as a police officer, trying to get her to pull over in an unmarked car. And so I'm just wondering what advice would you give to the community as it gets warmer around human trafficking, sex trafficking, particularly those who might be using law enforcement credentials to get individuals in a vulnerable position?
Through the chair, well, there's two answers to that. First of all, if you believe that you are being stopped by someone who is not the police, drive to a police station. If you are able to pull in a lighted area, if your concern level is low, but if it's a higher level, drive to a police station, drive right through a police precinct. And if there's an investigation or a traffic stop that has to happen, it can happen in the lot there. As far as anyone that thinks that they might be the victim of or even witness human trafficking, call 911.
Right.
We will certainly deploy. That's taken very seriously as an all violent crime, but Chief White has indicated that human, there is no place for that. There is no justification. There is nothing that makes that acceptable. So that is a priority one call. Should we get a call like that, we will respond as fast as we possibly can. If I may, and we can certainly get off offline, have a conversation, Commissioner Presley, but to your parishioner who had that concern, I would love to connect with them, either myself, we have Second Deputy Chief Hope that's in the audience, to follow up on that to make sure that they're safe, that there wasn't something. And obviously, if someone is impersonating police officer, we would like to get as much information as we can, because that can't happen. And we can get an alert out to our community, and certainly if there's any investigative tools that we had, that we can find them. Perhaps they drove past a green light, perhaps they drove past a license plate. Well, it wouldn't hit a license plate reader because the car is not stolen, but any in that area, maybe a traffic camera, if there's something we can do to identify that vehicle, please let us have that conversation so our investigation can begin.
Thank you. Commissioner Bell.
No comment.
Commissioner Bernard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Three things, just really quickly. The first goes back to something you just said. When the two state troopers were shot, just for my information, our information, when that occurs, and you're trying to get CIT on the scene and everybody else, how do the ambulances get to the people that have been shot if there's an active shooter? From your experience.
Through the chair, we set up what we call our command posts, where all of the decision makers are in this one area, and there's representation from certainly the police department, our medical partners, and they're staged in that area so that
the ambulance is over there because it's shot. I'm on the ground. Okay. So I want to, move this along. I don't want to be laying there bleeding out while you guys are getting it together.
Anytime, and again, through the chair, anytime we have a situation of that, medics are already called, medics are already staged and standing by. In addition to our partners from EMS, we have tactical medics that are EMT-trained officers that are a part of our special response team, so that immediately when we're there, so while the ambulance may be coming around, even from around the corner, we are able to immediately render aid should we incur someone, whether it's a victim, whether it's the perpetrator. We are there and have a two-part process to get them that aid.
Okay, but if they have a gun and they already shot me, what makes you think they won't shoot you?
If I may, that's what we signed up to do, ma'am.
So you're shooting back at the same time. Okay. Secondly, my two other real questions relate your comments related to the fact that regarding license plate readers, with all due respect, and Mr. Cromwell is in the room from OCI, I just reviewed a case and wrote four pages in response to the department's response regarding a license plate reader case. They pulled over a man. They don't just use them for stolen vehicles. That's just not true. They run people's plates continuously. And in this particular instance, they ran the plate of a man and they pulled him over because they said he had tinted windows. A mature, sophisticated man, apparently. Anyway, they pull him over. They run the license plate. So the officer comes up. It's clear harassment. He goes up to the driver, and he says, asks for license, registration, et cetera. Well, the guy has his driver's license, of course. Couldn't locate his insurance. But anyway, the police officer goes back to his car, runs the plate. He had already run the plate. Runs the plate to make sure the car is insured. So he knows the car is insured. Guy just doesn't have to have it in the glove compartment. He comes back. He writes the guy a ticket for no insurance. Beyond that, he then writes a ticket. This is all after reading the license plate and all this kind of stuff. He tells him to lower his window. He said, my windows are tinted because, like I do, I have an eye problem. And so he says, I have a medical excuse for my eye problem. The police officer says, well, it's not in our system. Lower the window. He lowers it one time. He says, and lower it again. He lowers it again. He says, lower it a third time. He writes him a ticket for failing to follow the instructions of a police officer. Clear unadulterated harassment. The man has in the glove compartment the vision thing that he needs for his eyes to have tinted windows. So it's not true, Deputy Chief, that they only use it for stolen cars. They run license plates all the time. And if they see a young guy, let's say, driving my car, but maybe braids or dreads or whatever, how they look,
And they run the plate and they say it's Linda Bernard's car, and it doesn't look like it's somebody that they just want to pull them over. Yeah, they will pull them over. And you and I both know that. Just quote, investigate. Why, I don't know. The person doesn't have to do anything wrong. But I just wanted to tell you that story. That's an actual case, and I did it last week.
If I may, I want to respond directly to that, Mr. Chair. So, Commissioner Bernard, I would just ask that we not, as far as the state, the facts of each case, I can't speak to that, but it sounds to me, and I just want to be clear, we're utilizing, let's not mix the technology. So any officer that's driving a police car has the ability to investigate and run a plate. What the technology that you're referring to with the LPRs are fixed, and they're only in certain areas, and that's managed at the real-time crime center. That is not at a patrol car who also has the ability to run a plate. So they sound very similar, but it is two different technologies, and I would just rather not intertwine them because I don't want any misinformation out as to which technology is being utilized.
But our policy regarding stops and searches and seizures and so forth does not say that the fact that you cannot just run a plate because you want to. There has to be a reason, literally, to run the plate, and otherwise that's a violation of my rights. I mean, under what circumstances do you have a right to just run my plate, pull me over, ask me? And my first question is, what did I do, officer? Why did you stop me? And if you didn't stop me for a legitimate reason, then the stop is not appropriate. But that's, I can share that case with you. I wrote 3 pages on it last week.
Thank you. And through the chair, again, I everything that you said is correct as far as constitutionally engaging or interviewing or investigating someone. I'm just asking that, especially with the general public watching, that we don't mix the technology, because the initial opening that you said was that an LPR was used. Well, that wasn't that technology. At a fixed one, it was an officer that investigated the vehicle from the scout car. So certainly any type of misconduct, any violation of our technology, of our investigative resources, we don't stand for that. There are checks and balances in place, both from OCI as well as internal affairs or our professional standards. But I just don't want to say, oh, well, this was automatically a use of the LPR, when based on your description, it was an officer in a scout car that investigated a vehicle.
I need to hear his name.
We can talk about that after.
No. Commissioner Holly.
Mr. Chairman, I have 2 more questions quickly. First of all, can you arrange to have someone make a presentation before us on what the Homicide Task Force consists of and what it does, just at a later date, not today? And then the third comment I had related to, quote, shot stopper, a term that was coined by Councilwoman Calloway at the Detroit City Council, in which the mayor spoke about. You were present, I saw you there, extensively during his remarks. What assistance is the department going to give organizations, and we have people here from the clergy and so forth, what assistance can the department give to organizations who are going to bid on those $700,000 grants?
Thank you. And again, through the chair, as indicated, and it was revealed at the State of the City, that's an initiative that Deputy Mayor Bettison is championing out of the mayor's office. So those specific information I don't have. I can certainly reach out and possibly connect you to see if you can get that information, but the DPD is not driving that program. We will support it as the direction from the mayor's office, but at this point, that the detail of what you're looking for, that would, your source of information would be from the mayor's office.
Thank you.
And I can help you out with that, Commissioner.
Thank you.
If you go on the city's website and you can just search it, applications open for Shot Stopper, a new $10 million muni violence intervention program. And it tells everything that it does.
It's going to be doing with it. I have a copy of that. It's what DPD is going to be doing to help with this.
Okay, I'm just saying, it's on here. I read the whole thing.
To the chair, can I have 20 seconds, please?
Hang on, sir. You're going to have to go through some more pieces.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. Commissioner Holly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and to the chair, Mr. Deputy. I'm always glad when you're at the table. Your experience has been invaluable. I'd like to apologize from the commission's standpoint that we are calling you a liar, that you said something that was not true. And I want to apologize to you for that. The two are different, as you indicated. I also like the commission to know I was in a meeting when this stopper was basically developed. And this is the that's been done by the mayor's office under Deputy Mayor Dennison. I would like to ask if the commissioners like to have Deputy Mayor Dennison to come and explain that to us. I think that the secretary can be through the chair to have them do that. I want to thank you always for your just real being there with the experience that you've had. I just wanted to let you know I'm very grateful for your presence and how you respond to our questions, because it is indeed some good questions, and you give some great answers as well. So after that, Mr. Chairman, just have no real questions to ask.
Fantastic. Commissioner Carter.
Good afternoon, everyone. I have an announcement more so. I don't know if the Deputy Chief Hayes said anything about the car club giveaway that's tomorrow.
But you can say it again.
Oh, no.
Some people might have missed
The Wayne State University Center for Urban Studies, as well as Chief White, along with Council Member Waters.
Oh, yes.
Representative mm-hmm. Tyrone Carter.
Yes.
Partners to distribute over 600 car clubs and wheel locks to members of the Detroit community who want a free car club or free wheel locks. So that's tomorrow at 4:00 here at Detroit Public Safety Headquarters. Thank you.
Commissioner Banks.
Yes, through the chair. Peace and blessings to you, Deputy Chief Hayes. We conducted our community meeting last week at the 3rd Precinct. And the 3rd Precinct appears to have one of the safest precincts in the city of Detroit. And they get out from the heart of the city, everything from the city, everything from the inner city. They get all of that out. And they handle center area, the 3rd Precinct, downtown area, and midtown. And handle all of that territory where everybody in the city come from, and to keep the crime down to a minimum, that's amazing to have one of the safest precincts in the city of Detroit. So what I'd like to know, what's the protocol when you have a very safe precinct like the 3rd Precinct? What's the protocol? Do those precincts like go and help mentor and pour into and cultivate and nurture the other precincts that's really struggling in the city of Detroit? Give me a little briefing if you can.
Mr. Chair, so Chief White, we analyze data every single day. And to your point, whether it's crime trends, whether it's areas of success that we're doing something right, we are constantly sharing and passing information. Hey, we saw this is effective in this precinct. You might want to try that here. So lessons learned, both of what to do and perhaps what not to do, which is ineffective. We are constantly sharing that. And one of my roles for the department, I oversee our Crime Strategies Bureau. And we have a weekly crime strategy meeting that we take, quite frankly, the playbook from other precincts, sometimes other agencies, and we deploy that where there is areas of opportunity to get better. So we are constantly working. Our goal is to have all 12 precincts be just what you described, and we continue to work through that. Certainly Chief White, at his direction, and the command team as committed to getting to the place that you mentioned, sir.
Okay, wonderful. One more, Mr. Chair. I'm bouncing off Commissioner Bernard. I'm bouncing off her right now when she said, when you go to a crime scene and you have someone been shot, now here comes the officers, but someone has been shot. Now, she had mentioned an officer or whatever, they can be shot also. But do the officers, when they go to a crime scene, someone has been shot, what's the protocol? Do they survey the scene to see who's out in the audience? Or how does that go? Are they surveying the crime scene, looking around, looking on roofs and looking in the crowd? And how does that go, Deputy Chief Hayes?
Through the chair. So anytime we get to a scene, preservation of life is paramount. So that is the first thing we're doing to aid the injured as safely as possible. On countless times, when we've made the presentations or updates to the board, there have even been instances where officers were injured by the very person that they have not rendered aid to. They have went from a, I guess from a point of being on the offensive, they go from the mode to address the threat to now saving the very life in the hero mode of those that just had committed a violent act, sometimes again, as I mentioned, and indicated against the officer to save their life. So preservation of life is paramount when we get in there. Once we, again, have aided the injured, our investigation, we will, again, survey whatever it is, the elements of the crime, the nature that brought us there, and our men and women of the police department will investigate and do what they do best.
So you do survey the crime scene?
Absolutely.
Okay. That's all I want to know.
All right. Thank you, Chief. Well, we're going to move on. If you want to talk all live, you can.
5 seconds?
No, sir. We're going to move on.
Here with the commissioners, three and four, allowed them to raise four.
We're going to move on. He said he can talk to you offline, so we're going to talk offline.
Mr. Chairman, I want to be fair to all commissioners when it comes to equal time, and I'm not getting equal time here. Commissioner Bernard was able to get her questions in. Commissioner Hernandez was able to get his, but I haven't got all of mine, and I'm
just going to bring you half on enough time. Mr. Chairman, you've got half on enough time. Thank you. We're going to move on.
So what I'm hearing is there's a lot of no's, right? No, we don't want that. No, the community don't want this. No. I'm hearing that a lot, but they're not coming up with any solutions. So, no, right? That's the only word that's spelled in the dictionary. That spells a word. They're right together. It all spells no. How can we get to a yes? How can we get to a yes, we can fix this?
The Constitution?
Yes, you're absolutely right. And by us sitting in this room, we should be able to figure this out. We should. Because I'm hearing this a lot. My car got stolen. What you're going to do about it? Right? So we come up with something. No, we can't do that. Okay, what's your solution? I hear none. Right? So if we're going to talk to our constituents, ask them, you're in my shoes. What would you do? And if I take a little bit from you, take a little bit from you, take a little bit from you, guess what? I have that solution figured out. And that's what I want us all to do. Instead of saying no all the time, how can we get to a yes to make this craziness stop? And we should be able to do that. All right, thanks. We're going to go on to communications or communications. And I want to point out
2 minutes.
You have 2 minutes.
F, you are starting a sentence. Just let's say at the 159 seconds. I will let you finish your thought, but no further. What do we have, Mr. Brown? Because that's fair.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and the Honorable Board. We currently have 7 speakers, and I'll call those in attendance. The first speaker will be Lieutenant Mark Young, followed by Ms. Fia Butler, followed by Mr. Jerome Warfield.
I want to thank my colleagues for their courage and their sacrifice. They simply face what society fears. And they're doing it right now while they're studying for a promotional exam this Saturday and Sunday. They're stepping up to the plate to keep this society safe. And I take my hat off and I salute my colleagues. On Monday, March 13, 2023, the Detroit Police Department lost a great leader, Fred Bowens, Lieutenant Fred Bowens. What an awesome guy. He was my friend. We came on the job almost literally together. And we don't know what took his life, but I'm sure this job had a part of that. So while we get through bashing cops, understand it takes a toll on them. Violence, 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 shot at, struck by vehicles. 281-2871 responded to 2032-09. I'm giving you numbers on purpose because that's what we do every week. While we sit here and we talk about I'm convinced we're happy to be unhappy. I'm convinced we're happy to blame the police. I want the damn license plate readers. I don't have everything else. I live here. Carjackings, homicides, shootings, freeway shootings, and we sitting up here arguing about license plate readers. Constitution says I have a liberty for life. Why are we worried about all of this? Every week we stand in front of us, count numbers, victims. You gotta be ashamed of yourself. And I'm live here too, and I never lived in poverty, thank God. Saying that, it is disgusting to me. I am not a black or brown human being, I'm a human being. I'm a person. That's an insult to everybody that lives here. This is my city.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
President Young here, right to speak. But we are elected board and appointed board.
The microphone, Mr. Chairman.
And we have that
speaking to the mic
to speak freely, not being criticized by a union president. I resent that type of statement, that type of dialogue. Police officers are sworn and paid to do their job. We are sworn to do our job also. Thank you.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Ms. Butler. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon.
Go ahead.
Through the chair. Out of the many meetings I have attended, February 16th this year was the worst. Several commissioners were absent. And the meeting was delayed, and the parliamentarian asked the vice chair to call for time until enough commissioners arrived to form a quorum. Meanwhile, Commissioner Willie Burton was outside of the room laughing and talking on his cell phone. I went and informed Commissioner Burton they needed him to come in the room so they could begin the meeting. He ignored them. He ignored me. Commissioner Jim Holley also asked Commissioner Burton to come into the room, and he refused. A quorum was not formed until Commissioner Quintez Presley joined the meeting. Commissioners, the behavior I have observed has been disrespectful to the citizens and is unacceptable. I have learned that the only time you meet as commissioners is when you are before the public. How are you making decisions about a budget? Resolve any complaints, impose or review any discipline action taken against an employee without meeting and discussing an issue before going before the public. Even when Human Resource told you that the required qualifications have not been met for employment, you ignored that decision. Commissioner Willie Burton has stated many times the number of people he represents. And I have inquired about the voting participant in District 5, and only 25,954 voted, and that's not over the 100,000 voters he said that he represented. Many in the district did not vote. Commissioners, the voting participation in our city is a disgrace and does disservice to all of us. Only 72,919 voted out of the 639,111 people voted in the city of Detroit this last election. Commissioner Burton, Willie Burton, cannot claim even a fourth of voters in his own district.
Thank you.
Commissioners, please come together and do the work that's needed for our city. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Warfield.
Good afternoon once again to this honorable board, and thank you for the opportunity to stand before you. Last week we stood and we asked a question as regards to the recension of the accepted offer that I accepted as chief investigator after I had been processed. I was told then that I would receive an answer, and to date, I have not received an answer as to what happened and why. I just want to review that it took a two-thirds vote of the Board of Police Commissioner members to enter into negotiation for both candidates that were being hired at that time. However, the chief investigator offer was rescinded by a few members due to maybe some erroneous information. And I say that because after I made my comments last week, one of the commissioners to the chair said that the information that Reverend Warfield presented is different from what we've been told. Now, I have no idea what information that was told or relayed as it relates to why the recension happened, because it never came before the board. My question again is the same as last week. After the offer has been accepted, after I was processed, why didn't it come back to the board for discussion before rescission was given? But the rescission was made before it came back to the board, which to me seems somewhat out of practice and out of sort. And so I'm just seeking understanding is all I'm doing. It's seeking understanding how this happened, why it happened, and how can we prevent something like this from happening in the future. Again, as I said last week, I never said that I would not work with anyone. I never said that I would not report to anyone. And I never asked for another dime after you all countered with the offer that you gave me. I accepted that through email as I was in Israel at the time. And so I thank you for your consideration. And again, I thank you for the time that you've allowed me today. Thank you.
Thank you. Who do we have next, Mr. Brown?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, your next two speaker will be Minister Eric Blunt, followed by former Commissioner William Davis. Mr. Blunt?
Yes, can you hear me, board?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, I'm Minister Eric Blunt. I want my 3 minutes just like you gave Ms. Butler. Related to Commissioner Reverend Presley's comment on fake police officers, Commissioner Bernard, you wearing a sweatshirt that reads Detroit Police? Are you trying out a new costume for the next election cycle where you present yourself as a police officer? The word commissioner should be above all other words and in larger font than any other word. But just like your clearly conflict of interest statement last week, you continue to exhibit bizarre behavior. Commissioner Ferguson, you knew I was onto something as I cited Commissioner Bernard's conflict of interest statement last week. You knew I was right. Please do not back down just because you get some pushback. This and all other inappropriate misconduct action occurring on this board during your leadership will be noted as occurring under your leadership. So that no one gets it twisted, I have never had any personal issues with Commissioner Bernard. I have in this public meeting apologized as a member of the religious community for Commissioner Reverend Holly's extremely disrespectful comment in which he stated that Commissioner Burton must not have taken his medication today. So again, my comments over the years have never been personal, but only situational. Commissioner Banks, you mentioned the backlog and you got no answer last week. The Inspector General still has 3,000 files of complaints that they have retrieved from their surprise raid of OCI. Commissioner Presley, you mentioned ghost employees last week and there was no comment. It's just crazy to think that so many bizarre behaviors are occurring on this board, even the ones that the public do not know about.
Former Commissioner Davis.
Good afternoon. Can I be heard?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, I'd like to start off by saying I was very troubled and upset about how this board treated someone last week, a caller, Ms. Marguerite, you know, who obviously has difficulties with speaking. You know, y'all cut her off at the exact second. That's very disturbing. You know, y'all need to look at what y'all doing and how y'all doing it, because y'all give some people an endless amount of time, you know, and I think y'all in violation. Also, as it relates to Reverend Warfield, how in the heck can y'all vote on somebody and a vote for somebody and then have a few people without being in a public meeting decide to rescind an offer? That sounds illegal. I'm going to be watching y'all more closely than I have, and I have not missed a meeting since a year before I became a police commissioner. And, you know, I haven't missed a meeting since I, you know, left the board, you know, but I'm not, I do not think that this board is doing and acting in a professional, courageous manner. I hope y'all didn't withdraw that offer because the mayor has some problems against this young man because he speaks out and has profiled on a number of issues over the past years. You know, if this board has to get the mayor's approval for major decisions, this board should cease to exist. If I find that, I'm going to ask the Justice Department to come in and look at and investigate each and every one of y'all. This is horrible. You know, so far I took a hands off as it relates to the Justice Department, but perhaps it's time to take a closer look at what this board is doing. Y'all are a disgrace. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, your next two speakers would be Ms. Margaret Maddox Scarlett, followed by Ms. Brenda Hill. Ms. Scarlett?
Thank you. I'm Margaret Maddox Scarlett is my sister. Number one, let me finish my wording, please. I have a speech impairment also, and I would like to come down and speak in person. But please be prepared for what I am about to say. And I am a person who will speak my mind. And I would like for if another one of you to walk my shoes. Please take a walk in my shoes with me. Thank you. I'm done.
Thank you. It's Brenda Hill.
Good evening. Really, how dare you? How dare you, Chair Ferguson, sit up there and try to tell us who come to these meetings, who, y'all know you don't know me, but the chief knows, anybody else knows me, knows that I do the work out on the streets as well, and tell me that I'm a complainer, that all we do is say no. I'm not a police commissioner. I'm supposed to come to you to ask you, how do we resolve these issues? And if you have a problem with that, you need to step down. And as far as disrespecting anybody that has disabilities, there is an act, American Disability with Disabilities Act, that should guide you. But however, you all should have common sense, compassion, that you would disrespect Margaret Maddox with 2 minutes when you know that she's a person with disability. But that shouldn't make a difference. You let Ms. Butler speak ad nauseum. And it's clear she has no idea about the Open Meetings Act, voting and voting numbers. All that stuff she said, 90% of it was wrong. She has a problem with Willie Burton, but that's not hers. And if Willie Burton got 25,000 votes, that's 25,000 by 7 precincts and stuff. So she needs to get out in the street and talk to the non-voters. It's not his fault. It's her fault because she's not getting her folks to vote. Don't get on here with that garbage, but then disrespect someone who clearly has a disability. Also, what is going on at the Real Crime Center that they don't see people stealing cars? Where they're getting them, where the chop shops are? Something else is wrong and going on here. Do you?
Mr. Chair, that was your last speaker.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, is it okay if I say one quick thing?
Yes.
You know, it seems to be an issue that's the second caller called in about the lady that has the disability. Can we vote on maybe her getting another minute? Because she's faithful every week. She's trying her best. I could just hear her heart. And can we maybe vote on it and get her another minute? It seemed fair to me.
Yes, but let me make my statement first.
Go right ahead.
This board does not discriminate against anybody speaking, but we have to be fair. I understand there are some challenges with some of the residents in speaking. I do. And I hear Ms. Maddox. I hear everything she's saying, and I understood everything she said. And then for the record right now, Ms. Maddox left 17 seconds left on there. And I understood everything she said. She got on here and was prepared. The week before, she left 7 seconds left. So I'm well aware, and I'm listening. But if the board wants to vote to have someone with a speaking problem, impediment, make the motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
To the chair, I think all of us are, and I try to get all gifts and law and grace at the same time. I think because of this young lady, because of you, this is how you described, I really don't want to do a vote. I think that we ought to just use discretion to give her 3 minutes.
Good, that's good.
You do that.
That's good.
Me, one or two other people for the rest of the year may do the same thing, but this basically. I think you have the right. I like to see if the board will give you permission to really just give it 3 minutes.
Good job.
At your discretion. Good work, please.
Good job.
I support. Chairman. To the chair.
Yes.
You would need a motion to suspend the rules.
To the chair.
To do what?
Suspend the rules, right.
Because I have a rule for 2 minutes. All you have to do, I'm not trying to complicate things.
Sure.
But since you have a rule and you want to make an exception, you would have to move to suspend the rules.
To the chair.
Yes.
I want to just say that our good sister from the city of Detroit, here in the city of Detroit, has been discriminated against this by this board. So, you know, our good sister here in the city of Detroit, she's the daughter of Detroit, has been discriminated against this by this board. She's been consistently discriminated against by this board every time she decides she wants to speak. I've been advocating for Detroiters for quite some time to have additional minutes. Last week, our good sister, the daughter of Detroit, received 3 minutes by the Detroit City Council. But she's not getting the fair opportunity here. I watched board members at this table laugh, smile when she speaks. She's been discriminated, just like others with speech impediment disorders, been discriminated also by this board.
That's true.
It's not fair. We got to protect their voices, protect their rights when they come into public meetings. Yes, she has been discriminated, and it's wrong. I think all citizens who have mobility challenges, speech impediment, and other disorders, health disorders, ought to have more time. I've been advocating for quite some time, and every time I put a motion to the floor, guess what happens? It gets voted down. A lot of times I can't even get a second.
That's
it's disgraceful. Chairperson Ferguson, you can't tap dance with words because you are part of the problem.
You are.
Instead of being part of the solution.
You are right.
Okay.
You are right. But hang on. We have to be fair. That's what we have to be.
Right.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
Thank you. Through the chair. I mean, this is a perfect opportunity, and I'm very familiar with ADA. And at your pleasure and at the board's pleasure to actually take a step back, send this to the Personnel and Training Committee so where we can, and in partnership with Ms. Shaw, possibly do a focus study, see what best practices are, and come up with a solution that makes sense. There are cases where, although an impairment may be visible, there's still confidentiality at stake. Although an parent may be heard, there's still the right of the individual to maintain that confidentiality. So I ask that we not move a motion before and act on anything before actually seeing best practices in other government bodies as well as corporate. So at the discretion of yourself or of the board, wherever that may lie, I'd be happy to take that on within personnel and training.
Mr. Chair,
yes,
I want to say this. Let's not get away from us trying to help Ms. Maddox. You can make that call.
No, I'm not going to make that call. Personnel and training is going to.
Mr. Chair.
They're going to put it together, and then they're going to bring it back. Unless you got to the chair. Every puts it together. But hang on. You're here for the law department.
In the interim, it is the law department's recommendation that you give this individual the necessary time to finish her statements, regardless of whether or not that runs over 2 minutes. However, that needs to be done through the rules. I am certain and confident that this board will find a way to make that happen in the interim.
Right. I agree. Like I said before, Ms. Mattis talks and she gets her point across. She left 17 seconds on the board today and left 7 seconds last time, seven or nine or whatever. So she can get it out. But we don't want to rush her, right? That's what we don't want to do. I understand that Zoom, when you're on Zoom, it cuts off at 2 minutes. No matter what, it cuts off at 2 minutes.
That's not true.
Maybe we may use that as the gavel. Or maybe we silence
voices in the room. You don't have the floor.
Speaking up, going public.
You don't have the order.
So we will look into that to give her some extra time. We just heard it from a lot of people.
Wonderful.
Oh, we will be looking at that.
We know something. Okay, that's fine. You're good.
I believe Commissioner Hernandez has basically given us a resolve as to how we can provide additional assistance for Mrs. Maddox. And I really think this conversation needs to move on.
To the chair.
Yes, sir.
I agree that the conversation needs to move on, but I also believe that the record needs to be corrected. I categorically deny any accusation of discrimination by this board. And as a commissioner on this board, we should be more cautious with the language that we use representing this body. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I would request that you will state that the motion is assumed without objection to refer this matter to the Personnel and Training Committee by the board. That protects the board and it protects the committee.
So
the motion without objection to refer this matter of the disabilities in extending time to the Personnel and Training Committee. You informally discussed it. There was no motion for it. And for the record, there needs to be a formal process of referring this to that committee, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move this discussion that we just had to the Personnel Training Committee.
You can do it that way as well.
Second.
You can ask if any objection.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All in favor? Commissioner Burke?
Objection.
Any objection?
Doesn't matter. You got that. All opposed. All opposed.
All opposed?
Okay.
It has passed.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Now we're going to move on to our presentations to the board. Our BOPC fiscal year 2023-2024 budget. And that will be conducted by Board Secretary Ms. Shaw. She has an awesome PowerPoint presentation. Commissioners, you also have that PowerPoint presentation that was emailed to you.
Maybe not the PowerPoint, but the hard copy.
Well, the hard copy, and then we have the hard copy in our package.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to point out this is the first time we've ever had a board secretary provide this presentation to us since I've been a commissioner, for sure. I don't know what happened before that.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, Ms. Shaw.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you know, I'm talking a little bit, so we don't want to miss anything.
All right. Can you hear me okay now?
More.
No.
Louder.
Well, if you don't need more,
just that you need. Yeah, just speak up.
Pass.
She's tall. Yeah.
And we know you don't want to scream into the mic, but.
Here they come.
Okay.
How's that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Much better. Okay, awesome. Good afternoon again, commissioners, as well as our guests here today. My name is Victoria Shaw, Secretary to Board of Police Commissioners, and I'll be presenting the BOPC Fiscal Year 2023-2024 budget proposal. And you have copies in your packet, and those were emailed, as well as it is showing on Zoom and in the room for the community. We're scheduled to present this board to City Council on Monday, March 20th at 2:30 with the board's approval. So I started my appointment on Monday, the 13th this week, and due to the tight budget timeline, I prioritized developing this budget proposal on behalf of the board. While I'm still assessing staff, structure, processes, and procedures, I'm confident that the assumptions in this presentation are sufficient for us to propose a budget that allows us the flexibility to make the necessary changes over the next fiscal year to better meet the needs of the community and oversight. The budget committee had a public meeting this week on Tuesday, March 14th, where this presentation was reviewed in detail, adjustments were made, and the committee agreed to approve for this presentation to be delivered to the board today. For the sake of time, I will call out key components of the presentation and will gladly take questions at the end of the presentation. I apologize, the slides are not numbered, but that will be added going forward. So if we look at the slide titled Fiscal Year 2022-23, we can go to the next slide on Zoom, please. This slide speaks to...
It's not up there
Can
yet.
We move to the next slide, please, on Zoom?
Now it's on you. I don't know.
Now it's focused on me.
We need the slide.
Give the team a moment, please.
Risa, do you know how to do it? Risa?
Nope.
Give her a second.
It's not Teresa. One of the other team members is working on it. Give her one moment, please.
Right, yeah. Let technology work it.
Yep. It'll just take a moment.
Right.
Mr. Brown, are you able to reach out to her to help?
Mr. Chairman, in the meantime, Chairman.
Yes.
She might be able to tell who's on the bill, who is on the budget committee and who's the chairperson of the budget committee.
Yes.
I can do that.
Yes.
So Vice Chair Annie Holt is the chair of the budget committee. And we have sitting on that budget committee, Commissioner Holly, Commissioner Burton, and
That's the committee.
Oh, that's the committee. Okay, it's a small committee.
It's not just the extra channel.
Yes, and Commissioner Chair Ferguson, he did attend as well for the presentation. Okay.
I'm sorry, through the chair, whoever is controlling this PowerPoint, you can simply scroll down. There's no page next. Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thanks, District Technology.
Okay, so we're on slide fiscal year 2022-23 status. So this is the current fiscal year that we're in right now. And this speaks to the budget of this fiscal year. And we are currently operating under a $3.9 million budget. Of that, we are on track to have a surplus of almost $859,000 by the end of this fiscal year. On the far right column on this slide, you can see that the greatest driver of this surplus is multiple open positions, both on the OCI team and the administrative team. And filling those positions will be prioritized. Moving on to the next slide, which is titled Fiscal Year 2023-24 Budget Impacts. This summarizes the major initiatives that will have impact on the changes that we're requesting for the coming
year.
Yes.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but it has not moved up to what you're referring. Now it's coming up.
Please, whoever's controlling, please make sure you keep up with Ms. Shaw. Thank you.
Okay, so
So this slide is summarizing just the initiatives that are going to be impacting the budget. That includes conducting salary assessments across the entire team based on market analysis as well as performance. And we need to budget for increases that may average up to 5% overall. I want to clarify here that not all raises will be the same. It will be based on where individuals are in their salary range, as well as the market analysis and their performance. Also, we're looking at restructuring the administrative team to increase relationships, service, and community relationships, as well as aligning to NACO best practices and business best practices. We're also looking to provide snacks and water and more literature during the community meetings. And since the matter of the task workers is still under review, if they're not onboarded during this current fiscal year, we will lose the funding that's available currently for those task workers. So we are planning to budget for that in the next fiscal year in case we're able to bring those workers on. Let's stay on this current slide right here. Don't scroll.
Correct.
Where we're supposed to be.
Right.
So this slide is the administrative team restructuring. And this describes the new staffing structure that this particular budget supports. Many of these positions already exist in the budget and just are not filled, which we're working to do. And there are two new positions that are being proposed in this budget. Now, as you can see in the gray bubble, there's no changes in the OCI team. But then in the middle, you can see there's a data analysis position that will be a new position that we're looking to add. On the right in the yellow bubble, you can see three existing positions being reassigned for the community commissioner and community partnerships. And for this model to work, we need to add an additional position to the budget so that we have a total of four commissioner and community partners. These CCPs would assist their assigned commissioners with coordinating and supporting meetings with community groups, managing community contacts and communications, triaging commissioner-specific correspondence, as well as document preparation. They'll also work collectively as a team executing a market and community engagement strategy, including a social media component. We can scroll to the next slide. Okay, so the next two slides are position impact. So this just shows the changes in functions and increases to budget headcount. So on this particular slide, you'll see an additional FTE for the community relations manager. That will be our fourth CCP to bring us up to the number that we need to support the commissioners. And then moving on to the next slide, you'll see an additional line there for the data analysis, which increases the overall staff headcount budget to 37 from 35. So right now we're budgeted for 35 headcount, and with the new budget, we'll be budgeted for 37 total staff members. We can move to the last slide now. This last slide is titled Fiscal Year 2023-24 Budget Submission. And this shows the change in the proposed budget from the current fiscal year to the next. As I mentioned, the current budget is $3.9 million. And for the next fiscal year, we need to budget for just over $4.4 million to be successful. This is an increase of almost $566,000, or a 13% increase. To close out this presentation, I would like to say that I take the use of taxpayers' dollars very seriously. Our BOPC budget pales in comparison to DPD's budget. Nonetheless, our budget matters, and I'm serious about fiscal responsibility. This budget will be transparently managed, and the benefits and outcomes of the administrative and OCI teams will be transparently shared so that the community knows their tax dollars are being put to good use. Thank you so much, and are there any questions?
Thank you again. Commissioner Hernandez.
Thank you, sir, through the chair. This is what day four looks like. And I'm very happy what day four looks like. So thank you, Ms. Shaw, for the presentation and the analysis. I have a very quick question taking us back to what I'm going to call, I think, slide one or two, fiscal year 22-23 status. line item 5, operating services, it indicates Miracle Sans is under construction.
Right.
Or that the construction is incomplete and rent is not yet paid. When do we anticipate that rent kickstarting again? And what impact is that going to have on our overall budget?
So that's correct. So currently we budget for rent, but we're not actually paying it. And that's why we have this surplus here. I don't have a date yet for when the construction will be complete. We'll look into that. But we are including that in the new budget as well, so that whenever we have to start paying rent, we will have funds available to do that.
So you forecasted for it accordingly?
Yes.
Thank you.
Are there other questions regarding the presentation?
Commissioner.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Just following up on Commissioner Hernandez, who are we going to be paying rent to?
The city of Detroit, I believe.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Right.
Brown?
Yes. Yes. That's what. Okay, well, I'll figure it out. There's an agreement between us and the city of Detroit to pay rent for the chief investigative office?
That's correct.
Yes.
All the other departments aren't paying the city rent, are they? And commissions?
I'm not sure. I can check into that.
What's it to do with the construction? When the construction was completed years ago.
So the rent doesn't, through the chair, the rent doesn't have to do
with
the
construction.
Sorry.
It's rent for the facility. But the reason that we're not paying rent right now is because there's still construction going on.
All right.
So I can pay rent
until they finish
construction. It's a city business, a building.
Right, they're fixing a building up.
Fix it up before we move over. Help me out.
No.
My understanding is that all these buildings are run by a separate entity from the city. And therefore, we say the city, but it's really like this building here. Is we operate the police department, the fire department, but we all pay rent. We all pay rent. So it's a landlord. That's, thank you. I can give that to you tomorrow morning. I can give that to you. But right now, it's a landlord for all the city buildings. It's a landlord. It's a separate entity. And that's why we pay the rent. That's my understanding. It's been for some time now, and that's something changed in the last 24 hours.
Commissioner, it's my understanding as a management company, like a real estate, like you for your buildings, you're a real estate management company. But they don't own, I mean, the city owns a Plaisance. That's our building. That's not a building that we can hire any manager. This building here is managed by a management company downstairs in the basement. But I don't understand.
Commissioner, from what I'm
talking about, but okay.
We don't.
Through the chair.
Wait, let me get Commissioner Byrne. He goes first. Go ahead, sir.
Through the chair. I wanted to say I serve on the budget committee. And if you look at what was on the agenda, when the agenda went out, this wasn't on that agenda, number one. Number two, the budget committee seems to have been meeting practically almost weekly when all of our subcommittees are scheduled the second Wednesday of the month. So every week, it seemed like it's a special meeting. So therefore, it's not fair to my constituents that I represent in the city of Detroit, where I have to keep moving my schedule around. But I show up because without me being present, then we don't have representation in District 5. But the budget committee, these committees are scheduled the second Wednesday of each month. We've been meeting almost weekly on the same matter here. But this line item that the board has is looking at right now that's going before council on Monday. We had less than 24 hours. I just want this to share this with the members, listening audience. We had less than 24 hours that we received this and they voted and passed right out of the subcommittee. You know, therefore, this whole process is flawed. It's terrible for us to process because now members of the board, as the members of the board as a whole, are just now getting a hard copy today. I believe something may have been emailed out yesterday to them, but it's just now getting a hard copy today. When you should have had, we should have had something like this, weeks ago with continuing discussion with the Board of the Whole, members of the community, work done in the committee and back before this board. But commissioners haven't even been able to give their input or weigh in, nor have members of the community. This is, you know, some of the things in here I agree with. But overall, it's the process
that is wrong,
okay,
terrible, because we had less than 4 hours.
The budget committee staff,
sir,
with marijuana appointees and not enough elected officials.
Thank you.
Wait a minute,
sir.
Let me clear something up.
The agenda. As I've said over and over again, things change quickly. And we have to learn to adapt. The agenda changed. The first agenda came out. Send it to me. That we're going to change it. And we're going to turn this. The citizens, the residents of the city, we get out of that memo,
please, sir.
We have to do this to serve the people, not other entities.
I'm asking. I asked you in the beginning. Please respect the board and please respect this chair.
But Mr. Chair, I'm not respecting the citizens to be straight out of the floor, sir.
So this agenda, it went out electronically and it went out. Everybody has it. We have time to change, and we've done that.
And that's simply my promise, Mr. Chair. This wasn't even on the agenda. Sorry, you don't have the agenda.
Commissioner Hall has the floor. Please.
Chairperson, as the commissioner has indicated, yes, the budget committee was scheduled to meet several times leading up to finally scheduling this emergency meeting this week. Ms. Shaw and I may have touched at the meeting, at the board meeting last week down at the historical First Baptist Church. She was engaging in some of the organizing. And basically, really, to see if it were familiar from previous budgets.
There was no
deep conversation regarding this budget. And Ms. Shaw has been working very closely with Mr. Brown
and other associates that we've gotten from Mr. George.
This is to move the budget out of committee was the first time I had an opportunity to sit with the committee members all and move forward.
Moved it out of the committee,
and here we are today. Commissioners, there's nothing clandestine about this budget. And when we were talking about the rental, I believe the reason we have that money is because we have not paid the agency because we don't have full access of the location. And that's what I was trying to say about the renovation.
Okay. Let the record show that Commissioner Moore has entered. Thank you, sir, for taking your time to come through with this. Any further discussion on the budget?
So if there's no,
go ahead. Okay.
I move approval of the budget as presented.
Second.
Any further discussion? No?
Roll call vote.
Ms. Shaw, let her get back to the seat here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay. So for roll call vote, we will start with Chair Ferguson.
Yes.
Vice Chair Annie Holt.
A resounding yes.
Commissioner Cedric Banks.
Yes.
Commissioner Willie Bell. Commissioner Linda Bernard.
Yes.
Commissioner Willie Burton.
Abstain.
Commissioner Lisa Carter. Commissioner Jesus Hernandez.
Yes.
Commissioner Jim Holly.
Yes.
Commissioner Ricardo Moore.
Yes.
And Commissioner Quantas Presley.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, you have 10 yes votes and 1 abstain.
The budget has passed.
To the chair.
Yes.
Commissioners, on the budget committee, as Ms. Shaw has shared, we will be meeting with council at 2:30 in the KMAC building. We ask that you attempt to make some time to be in that meeting at 2:30. That's right after the DPD will be making its presentation. Excuse me, what time is DPD's presentation? Their presentation is at 1.
Okay.
And it's going to go on to 2:30. Okay.
I'm going
to
hear for that.
Thank you. So now that all went up.
Through the chair.
Ms. Shaw. Oh, I'm sorry.
I am so sorry. I just wanted to make note that there's not a section for unfinished business on this agenda.
No.
And I have an unfinished business item.
I do too.
We can add that. No?
It's on the agenda I have.
It's on the agenda you have?
Yeah. Number 13 is unfinished business.
I don't have it on mine.
This agenda was waiting for me when I arrived, so I can't account for why your agenda may be different, but
I got it. Happy to show you my 12. I got it number 12 here.
14 new business. So you adopted an agenda that did not have unfinished business in it?
Yeah, right. Doesn't have it either.
Mr. Chairman, you can answer if there's any objection.
Okay.
The agenda you adopted did not have unfinished business.
Gotcha.
You can simply ask, is there any objection to adding unfinished business?
Is there any objection to adding unfinished business to the agenda we adopted?
Hearing none, we will add unfinished business to this agenda.
You have to say where, Mr. Chair.
We're going to put it right before new business. So that will be
perfect. Thank you.
Yep, that'll be 13, 12.
12.
That'll be 12. Well, 12.1. Because 12 is already there under announcement.
Okay.
So we'll put it 12.1. All right. Ms. Shaw.
Oh, wait. I thought.
What? Ms. Shaw, go right ahead.
For the secretary report. Did you
have anything else?
I think he did.
Well,
that's why he ran.
Sure, through the chair.
We're going down 12.1. She has to do her. We're only 11 now, right?
Yes.
Right. We're all 11. Go ahead, Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the secretary report today, there were no special correspondence submitted for today's meeting. However, for the commissioners and the community, these secretary reports will start to evolve over time. This is just a FYI. As I work with the administrative LCI teams to prepare reports and presentations that give transparency to how these teams are supporting the commissioners and the community in advancing police oversight. So far this week, there's been primary focus on preparing the city council budget presentation, which you saw today. In addition, there have been a lot of other activities, including but not limited to getting to know the administrative and OCI team members and the commissioners. I've started a current state assessment that's going to include an assessment of staffing, processes and procedures, technology, finance, as well as assets. We are addressing the open positions currently in budget. And then next week, I'll be adding into focus the OCI inventory to assist the supervising investigators with short-term and long-term solutions for the backlog and inventory going forward. And that concludes my report, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Announcements. Ms. Shaw.
Yes, for announcements, our next meeting is Thursday, March 23rd at 3 p.m. here at Detroit Public Safety Headquarters. And then the meeting for April is, the next community meeting is going to be Thursday, April 13th at 6:30 p.m. That will be in the 11th Precinct at King David Missionary Baptist Church at 18001 Sunset in Detroit, Michigan. And we have committee meetings scheduled for April every second Wednesday. Budget committee meeting will be on April 12th at 2 p.m. Personnel and training committee meeting is April 12th at 2:30. Policy committee meeting will be April 12th at 3 p.m. And citizen complaints committee will be April 12th at 3:30. All of those committee meetings will take place at Detroit Public Safety Headquarters. That concludes the announcements.
Thank you. Now we can go to unfinished business. 12.1. Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Thank you, sir. Two related items in regards to HR items that we still have outstanding. The first that I'll say again, I already gave a thank you to Ms. Shaw for just diving in the true spirit of diving in
in her first week in the role of board secretary. But I'll also take this time to thank Mr. Robert Brown for his service, which is often a thankless job. He didn't take any compensation. He didn't take an increase in title or in recognition or in anything in regards to that. So just a big thank you to Mr. Brown for his service and his teamwork.
Commissioner Holly did try to give him a promotion over Ms. Shaw.
As he helped us navigate through this interim process. I'll also commend, although we still have an outstanding item, Mr. Cromwell in that same light for the service that he's providing, again, with no additional compensation. And with that, we do have an outstanding item as it relates to the chief investigator position, which is one of our two key and charter mandated positions for appointment. With that, I have a motion to make, which will be as follows. And the motion is to renew the motion to refer the matter of hiring the chief investigator to the Personnel and Training Committee, and that the Personnel and Training Committee report back to this board in 2 weeks as of today.
Second.
Any discussion? Through the chair. Discussion?
Yes.
I'd like to move that we send this matter over to the city law department for a legal opinion because the personnel and training committee apparently is not on the right side of things, and I actually serve on that committee. I think right now, knowing that a candidate accepted this position, and it was rescinded by one individual when it took a two-thirds majority vote. I think right now, this time, we ought to move that this over
for a second. We have to
number two, you cannot have two motions to refer at the same time. If the commission votes down the first motion, then Commissioner Burton
can make his.
Yes.
All right. Ms. Shaw, so it's been seconded on discussion. Roll call.
I'm sorry.
Discussion. I do ask my chairperson, into the commentary and certainly to the respect of the personnel committee. My concern as a member that I really feel like that Mr. Warfield, I need that to be, I really feel like we owe become him as well as the community the explanation as to what happened. Please understand, I don't mean no respect. I respect you as you know. I pray for you, your family, all the time. I just want you to know that that I'm concerned that we picked. He feels like he won. You feel like a committee feels like he was. When we came to us, you told us that that it was not offered. In other words, he rescinded to the offer. That's my understanding, and I may be wrong. That's why I'm asking you for your patience with me. I'm just a man like you are that likes just to be fair and want everything to be right. I'm just asking, if this man has been picked by you in the committee and he feels like all things are well, why do we have to go back and start all over again when we got somebody that we all agreed on in the first place? Help me to, Mr. Chairman, if you get off that phone, help me with this. Because I'm just saying to you, I need your help because I don't want to be misunderstood, Commissioner Hernandez. I want to make sure that we do the right thing by everybody. I know you do too. But I now feel like that we have somebody. Why do we have to go back out? Can the committee sit down and work it out? If it can't be worked out, then tell us it can't be worked out.
Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry, Mr.
The motion that was adopted.
I'm still doing, I'm trying to do the, address the discussion.
He's doing under
The problem is, Mr. Chairman, is that the
you got to do the same thing to the pending motion.
Okay, so where are we?
It was under discussion.
I beg to agree with you, Paul McTernan, who I love you very much. I just said to you, he's asked to go back to get another person on the for which I'm saying we got somebody, and why can't we work this out? Now you tell me when I'm doing wrong, and I probably am.
The motion that was adopted to rescind the offer, you would have to revisit that motion.
I'm asking,
the board has voted to rescind the offer to Reverend
Warfield.
So you can't go back without doing something about the motion that was adopted to rescind the offer. So you can't offer Reverend Warfield something unless you rescind the motion to rescind the offer.
Right.
Right now, the board commissioners adopted a motion to rescind that offer. So there is no quote offer currently pending to Reverend Warfield. Now, if the board believes that that's not what you want to do, then you would have to move to rescind the motion that was adopted to rescind the offer. In addition, the issue, or there are two issues I'm hearing. One is an explanation. You don't have to rescind the offer in order to say what happened and what occurred, and we want transparency. Those are two different issues. You can get that second issue without having to go back and rescind what you've already done.
Correct.
And I think that what I'm hearing are two different subjects. One subject is saying what happened, the public needs to know. One subject is saying, I don't think we made a good decision in rescinding the offer of work. Those are two separate things.
Absolutely right.
One requires that the board vote to rescind the rescission.
Right, so that one's already been seconded. So we have to vote on that, correct?
No. What is currently pending is the motion to renew the referral of the hiring of the chief investigator to the training and personnel, personnel
and training
committee. Right. That's the pending motion.
Right.
If that motion is voted down, then Commissioner Burton's motion on referring this matter to the law department, if it is seconded, could then be made.
Gotcha.
But the only pending motion in front of you right now is to renew the motion to refer this matter to the Personnel and Training Committee.
Okay.
And that motion is the only motion that's open for debate at this time.
Right, and that's what we're debating. Okay, so any further discussion?
Yes, sir. Jim, I just have a clarifying question. So, Mr. Chairman of the Personnel and Training Committee, will the Warfield situation come up in subcommittee again? Can I?
Yes, go ahead.
Through the chair. I can't speak on speculation. What is going to be discussed, I don't anticipate that being a live item on the agenda. What I will say is that this motion will activate and allow for the Personnel and Training Committee to still go back and review the pool of candidates that exists. This is still an open job posting. The application deadline has passed, but we still have applicants in the pool that are available.
Through the chair.
Yes,
10 seconds or less. They're apparently the board and HR has been reaching out to this guy named Mr. Lilly out of Texas, asking him whether or not he's still interested in a position. That to me violates the Open Meetings Act, number one. Number two, they reached out to him. Apparently, he was trying to have a dental procedure or something of that nature. That's on the email thread. To me, that's also improper, commissioners. You hire someone with a two-thirds majority vote here. A person
were. I'm going to stop you there. So, point of order, Mr. Chair. For PS, order of order, and for point of information, the person, the candidate, accepted the position on a Wednesday when he was going to be fine. Not to mention, they was foolish of our process by the Department of Labor. This man was hired.
Can we move to it?
Therefore, this meeting is out of order, Mr. Chairman.
No.
Hired a person because he cannot receive his offer after he accepts something.
Don't tell me what you can't bring to the sure. No offer was made.
Let's take a 5 minute.
Yes, Commissioner Hernandez. Thank you, sir. Through the chair, I would encourage everyone on this body and even the viewing public to use the hiring of Ms. Victoria Shaw as an example. To anyone with an untrained eye or a trained eye, you'll notice that there were a series of steps via motions to be able to then officially appoint Ms. Shaw. There was a contingent offer letter stage. There was a committee stage, there was a negotiation stage, and then subsequently, finally, an appointment stage that occurred. So, you know, there are lapses potentially that can happen sometimes in negotiations. At the end of the day, this body has the final authority through charter to appoint these two individuals. And so this didn't even get to that stage. There's a series of processes. So if you'd like to educate yourselves, please feel free to do that and rewatch all the recordings over the past couple weeks.
Mr. Chairman,
through the chair.
And I respect everybody. All I'm asking,
call the question.
All I'm, you can't do that. Don't
call
do
the question.
Don't do that.
He can call the question. It's not an interrupting motion.
No,
the person must be recognized. It is not an interruption.
Not an interruption.
Who called the question?
Go ahead.
And that motion has to be handed. We have to go.
But so be unready. I can't do my unreadiness.
I think we need to listen quite elder on the board, which is Reverend Jim Holly here.
Oh, not sure.
You could not speak, Reverend Holly.
Okay. What were you saying then?
I was saying that when someone made the motion, call the question, because that is not an interrupting motion. You can't interrupt who's speaking to make that motion. You have to be recognized and get in line.
Recognized by the chair.
And I was recognized by the chair.
Not on this issue.
Listen, we have a motion that we need to vote on right now.
Correct.
So, Mr. Chairman,
you can I didn't have an opportunity to speak.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Back and forth, and you're still on the discussion. I agree with Commissioner Harley that this is an embarrassment situation with Commissioner Warfield in terms of this whole process. I never seen anything like it that took place in terms of I've been on the board 10 years. You know, just HR need to be accountable. Personnel need to be accountable. The chair need to be accountable in terms of what took place and transpired. We need to get a full explanation and clarity before we can move on to talk about hiring. We got a mess in this issue. So we need to deal with it properly. So that would be my encouragement. My vote would be no in reference to personnel is deeply involved in terms of mishandling this situation.
He voting?
No, he didn't vote. He didn't vote. When it came time to vote on that recension letter, that Commissioner Bell was not here for that vote. That vote went to by two-thirds majority. That vote was 7-1.
Mr. Chairman.
Wait, let me finish.
You talk all the time.
Let me read this first. Pursuant to section 7-804 of the charter, staff, the chief investigator is an appointed position. As such, this position is at will, and the Board of Police Commissioners may elect to move on from a appointee or prospective appointee at any point in the process. So we voted to do that.
But we did it, Mr. Chairman, with all respect to you. We did it with the wrong information. We didn't get
when they gave us this information, he gave us the wrong information. I understand, Daniel, I'm doing my best to respect you. I'm doing my daggum best. But I'm just telling you that you, the committee gave us the wrong information. And it's not fair for us to vote on something that was wrong from the committee. What he is saying and what they're saying is two different things. And I like to think that you ought to look at this. You ought to look at it as a chairperson.
I'm not happy
as a commissioner how you're handling this. Because I feel like somehow, some kind of way, there are two things going on here. Two procedures. One for the committee and one for the person who's been hurt by the committee. And I feel like we have an obligation out of respect for the committee. I have an obligation to get to it, and you've got an obligation to do this.
You want this done on public record, right?
No, I'm asking you. Well, how this rather in a perspective way?
Maybe not, Chair.
I don't think so. Now, if you want to have that offline discussion, we will, because you have one side saying one thing and another person saying
another. I'll sit down and I resign. If the people here disagree, if I get the votes that disagree with me, I get out of your way. I get the heck out of your way. But if I get the votes that agree with me, then I think we ought to basically deal with this in a respectful way.
To the chair.
We have to, yes.
If I may.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Statement that the chair just read is the city of Detroit's official statement, and I advise this body not to discuss it further.
Not to discuss it further. I agree. Can we vote on the motion that's on the floor?
You need to vote on this motion.
Can you please recite the motion for our public audience?
Can you recite the motion? Commissioner Hernandez. Yes, as it was stated. Okay.
Go ahead, Ms. Shaw.
Can the board staff recite the motion?
So the motion that's on the floor is to move the matter of hiring the chief investigator back to the Personnel and Training Committee for the committee to come back to the board in 2 weeks from today.
Correct. Roll call vote.
It was already Chair Brian Ferguson?
Yes.
Vice Chair Annie Holt?
Yes.
Commissioner Cedric Banks?
Yes.
Commissioner Willie Bell?
Oh.
Commissioner Linda Bernard?
Yes.
Commissioner Willie Burton?
No.
Commissioner Lisa Carter?
Yeah.
Commissioner Jesus Hernandez?
Yes.
Commissioner Jim Holly?
No.
Commissioner Ricardo Moore?
Yes.
And Commissioner Quantes Presley?
He had to leave.
Mr. Chair, you have seven yes votes and four no votes.
So the motion is passed, and then we'll go back into committee.
Presley's not here, Madam Secretary.
I'm sorry, you're correct.
Three no votes.
Right, seven and three.
Mm-hmm.
So the motion passed, so we'll go back into committee.
So they had another.
Now, there's another motion. There's another motion. Would you like to state your motion now, Commissioner Holly?
According to the parliamentarian,
there's no motion. My motion fails.
Because you've already.
It depends on what it is, Mr. Commissioner. If you're talking about another motion to refer, that would be out of order because it's just been referred.
Right.
But if you want to make a motion that there is some transparency or some investigation or some report on what happened with the hiring, that motion would be in order if it's seconded, if I make that as seconded. The matter of referring this matter back to the committee does not preclude you from asking for a report that would be made on what happened specifically with the hiring or the lack of hiring of Reverend Warfield.
Gotcha.
So that motion can be made.
Mr. Chairman, I make that motion for an in-depth report in reference to this matter.
And I second it.
Any discussion?
All right.
Who's going to do it?
There's no second.
Who's going to?
There's a second on the motion.
Yeah, that's right. Who's going to?
No.
It'll come through the chair.
Okay.
And I'll send it so to be fair through personal training and a lot of parts.
All right. So the motion is that the chair will put together a report on what happened with the hiring process with Reverend Warfield and report back to the commission 1 week, 2 weeks.
It'll be more than that. You want the law department involved, it has to be at least 21 days by that definition.
I will assume the commission wants that report before you hear back from France.
Absolutely.
You can't get it that
way. Right.
And Linda, just you just paying lawyer.
You want to restate your motion now?
It comes through me, the law department.
I have reluctance here.
I am very
come from you in terms of chair. I think it should be somebody impartial that was not involved in the chair. But I think reports should come from the vice chair and the past chair.
You know better.
Past chair, Commissioner Carter.
It's come through the chair.
I like you.
Mr. Chairman.
I think we're talking about how much time.
Mr. Chair, as you know, the law department has been very reticent to say anything about this. All this requesting reports, putting things in writing and everything, just increases the exposure of the board. The board made a decision regarding this appointment. End of discussion. There is no company in the world that's going to engage in this kind of discussion because it does open the door for litigation, period. It makes no sense.
You made it all make sense to you when it's somebody else. Everything makes sense when you do something. It always makes sense. Just because you're a lawyer and I'm just a country preacher don't mean you know everything. I'm just saying to you.
I don't appreciate your personal attack. I'm telling you, this board has already included every since when you were chair. Against the board. Because we make personal decisions and not business decisions and don't handle it in a business like manner. It has been proposed that we handle this in a business-like manner, that it be proposed, that it go back to the committee, and that we handle it this way. This would not be happening in any corporation in America.
Commissioner, you're done. Okay.
To the chair.
I move that the chair report on this matter, what has transpired in terms of the hiring of Commissioner Warfield.
Is there a second?
The report would be within 2 weeks.
Within two. Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call vote.
Chair Brian Ferguson?
No.
Vice Chair Annie Holt?
No.
Commissioner Cedric Banks?
No.
Commissioner Willie Bell?
Yes.
Commissioner Linda Bernard?
No.
Commissioner Willie Burton?
Yes.
Commissioner Lisa Carter?
Yes.
Commissioner Jesus Hernandez?
No.
Commissioner Jim Holley?
Yes.
Commissioner Ricardo Moore?
Yes.
Okay, so Mr. Chair, you have five yes votes and five no votes.
Motion failed. That motion has failed.
To the chair, I'd like to make a motion at this time.
Wait. Go right ahead, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I move that. If the board doesn't do what's right,
no, you have to have a motion, not a statement, sir.
I move if Reverend Warfield,
it's
part of my motion. My motion would be is that if. My motion would be is for any additional hiring by this board pertaining to bringing on new additional staff goes to a hiring agency. Do I have a second for any of my colleagues?
No second.
I'll make another motion. I move that any additional hiring process pertaining to new staff coming on board to go for CDHR.
Is there a second?
No second. That motion fails.
Mr. Chair, I move that we adjourn.
Is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Meeting is now adjourned.